Please be seated. And good morning. My name is Father Mark Newsom, and it is an honor to be with you all here this morning, and I want to thank you for the warm welcome. For today's sermon, I'd like to use a brief portion of our gospel for the third Sunday of Lent. It's from St. Luke's 11th chapter, the 28th verse. But he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." My wife Jennifer and I are parents of three children who were, it seems, a few short moments ago, crawling. Now our oldest, a daughter, is married. The middle, also a daughter, is engaged. And our youngest, a son, is nearing the end of his time in college. Now time passes, which can be tough on all of us, of course, but it has left me with two decades of stories that make for some decent sermon material. So this morning, I'm going to tell one of those at the expense of my youngest and my only son. Now, depending on where and when you grew up, you may remember a song that was popular amongst Sunday school teachers. It was for the younger children, and it had a verse that went, "The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E." Now, that song may have been particularly popular here in the South, whereas we know there is a particular pride in knowledge of the Scriptures, and it is a matter of our culture. Nevertheless, this song was a favorite of my children, and one evening, which seems like 6 months ago, but was pushing 20 years ago, I heard a commotion coming from my son's room. I went to investigate, and I found him marching in place in the middle of his room, singing this song at the top of his lungs, with his sisters marching in circles around him. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Though now my son stands 6'3" tall, then he was the shortest of my children. But I noticed when I looked into the room that he was standing a head taller than his sisters. You see, he had taken the words of that song literally. He had found one of the more substantial Bibles in our house. He had placed it in the middle of his room on the floor, and he was standing on it singing that song. As the song says, he was literally standing alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Now, I felt like a failure as a father, but that's a funny story. But it's a good reminder for us that we have to be faithful and diligent in how we read and understand the Word. Christ himself tells us this morning that blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. In the Greek, that word for hear is the same Greek word that we get our English word acoustics from. And while it literally means to hear, some say the way it is used in this gospel implies listening with attention and perceiving the significance of what we are hearing. The Greek word for keep used is even more nuanced. It is the Greek word, it is a Greek word that the pronunciation of which I would butcher, so I won't try. But it means not just to obey, but to guard and to watch the way a soldier might guard a prisoner or a sentry might watch over a gate. The implication being that we must be diligent in understanding the Word of God as the gift that it is and defending it and guarding it within ourselves, often against not physical threats from the outside, but our own interior struggles with sin. Christ said, "Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it." The Word of God. In this verse, that phrase, "the Word of God," I believe, is the most significant. The Word of God is more than just written words. It is more than just the B-I-B-L-E. It is the very person of Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, walking among us. The Greek word in this phrase does not refer to an individual written word, but it is the word logos, the word that embodies the whole truth of God's revelation to us. It is the word that St. John speaks to us in his gospel when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." How do we truly hear and keep that word? The word that was in the beginning, the word that is God. We do it here in this thing we do this morning, this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, this Holy Communion. In St. John 6, chapter, the 51st verse, Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." In verse 53, he says, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." And in verse 54, he says, "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day." The church tells us, and we all believe, that the thing we do this morning is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the bread from heaven, and it is our communion with God. It is the Passover that is sacrificed for us. And if we turn and if we repent, Christ is faithful and true, and he will raise us up on that last day. That is our hope, brothers and sisters. The hope that is there for you in the Word of God and on this altar. And during this Holy Lent, as we move ever closer to hearing again that glorious truth of Christ's sacrifice, I implore you to hear and to keep the Word of God. I implore you to turn, to repent, to come, take, eat, drink, and live. Amen.